Good morning. And to fully appreciate the hope that we have in Christ because of the resurrection and because we get to celebrate Easter, it's important that we back up a little bit so that we can appreciate the hope that we have because of the resurrection. You know, oftentimes we, rightfully so, come in and just simply a celebratory mood because we get to celebrate that we serve a risen Savior. I was out this morning early and had to do a couple errands. And I went to three different places and not a single one of them said, Happy Easter. And I assume they must be trained to not offend anybody. And I loved, as soon as I walked in the back door, the first person that saw me said, Happy Easter. I said, oh, I'm home. I love that we get to celebrate unabashedly and without fear of insulting anybody. Because if you come here today, you realize our gratitude and our appreciation for the plan of God. Amen. You know, when Jesus came into the world, it was a dark place, a very dark place. But as the Apostle John says, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And God was sending his Son into the world, Jesus. And it says of Jesus, in him was life, and that light was the light of all mankind. His light shines in the darkness. And so we have Jesus coming to earth, and he is the light. His arrival was heralded this way. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus himself declared, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so he began to have people who would come and follow him. First, the calling of the disciples, and then those who the disciples would draw to him. And all of a sudden, this light began to spread, and people were wanting to be just like the light of the world. You know, Jesus gave them a challenge. He said, you're the light of the world. And part of the challenge that we face as disciples of Christ is we cannot get caught up in the darkness, that we have to shine brightly, just like our Savior did while he was in this world. You are the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But he said, you're going to be the light of the world. But he also said this. He said, this is the verdict. Lights come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And some of those who were amongst the evil plotted to put him to death. Sorry if you can't see this. I thought this was a flat top. I was going to put it on top of the podium, but we had to improvise when I got here and realized it wasn't. But Jesus warned them. He said, you're only going to have the light just a little while longer. The light was only going to be with them a little while longer. And so knowing his time was short, Jesus made arrangements to have one last Passover meal on what many of us refer to as Holy Thursday. But just before the meal, unfortunately, Judas, one of his disciples, one of his 12, conspired to betray Jesus for money. And then during the meal, an argument broke out amongst the disciples of Jesus on his final meal. They wanted to prove that they were the greatest amongst the other 12. After the meal, they went up to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus had to pray. He said, I have to get ready for what I'm about to endure. This is getting more difficult by the moment, knowing what he would have to face. He said, I need you to stay with me. But they couldn't stay awake because while their spirit was willing, their body was weak. Judas was not with them on that trip to Gethsemane because he was leading a contingent of priests. He was leading a contingent of guards. He was leading a contingent of the elders of the Jewish faith. And he came up to Jesus and kissed him on the cheek. That was a sign that that this was Jesus, and this is the man you need to arrest. Jesus looked at them and said, am I leading a rebellion that you have come at me with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, yet you didn't lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. Jesus was then taken to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where he was mocked by those who were guarding him. They blindfolded him and beat him. And they said, tell us who did it. They also threw a lot of insults at him. They punched him and they spit our Lord in the face. A young servant girl identified Peter as the one who was one of Jesus' disciples. He vehemently denied it. About an hour later, a second person came, a man came, and he said, no, I have nothing to do with Jesus. An hour later, he had an hour to think about this. An hour later, a third person comes up and says, no, you are a disciple of Jesus. He says, I don't even know him. And then the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you'll disown me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus then was taken before Pilate, the Roman governor, who had him flogged. The soldiers that were there twisted together a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. They slapped him in the face. They too spit on him. And they repeatedly hit him over the head with a wooden staff. Pilate found no basis for the charges against Jesus, and he made that very clear to the Jewish leaders. But he caved into the pressure of the crowd who called out for Barabbas to be released, a well-known criminal. He said, well, what do you want me to do with this Jesus who is called the Messiah? They cried out, crucify him. And then one more time, all much that louder, crucify him. The soldiers took charge of Jesus and they forced him to carry his own cross to the place of the skull. And then once he arrived, he was nailed to a cross. He was hung between two thieves. And both those men began hurling insults at him too. There were four soldiers there at the foot of the cross, and they wanted to know what they could get out of Jesus, and so they took his four outer garments and divided it up amongst the four of them. Then there was one undergarment, a full-length garment, that they said, let's not tear that up. Let's gamble for it to see who gets that valuable piece of Jesus. Hanging on the cross, Jesus looked up to heaven, and he pleaded, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He looked down from the cross at his closest disciple, John. He said, John, my mother is now your mother. Take care of her. He then asked the grueling question, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness came over the whole land. And then in the ninth hour, Jesus shouted out, it is finished. Let's pray together. God, I can only imagine the hopelessness that so many felt at that moment. The world had finally begun to see light. And it seemed like the work of Jesus, the gospel, was spreading the good news. It was providing light to all men. But men love darkness instead of light. And they said, we want to snuff out the light of the world. And from this limited vantage point, that Friday, over 2,000 years ago, they won. The hope of the world was gone. Yes, a good man, a great teacher, a great servant, somebody who provided a great example, but he had been put to death. Death on a cross. Father, I picture Joseph of Arimathea coming to the cross with Nicodemus, having received permission to take Jesus' body down from the cross. As they wrapped him in linens and treated his body with various spices, they rolled him in those linens, carried him to the grave, and then it was sealed and seemingly over. Father, if that's all there was of the gospel message, yeah, we'd be inspired. We perhaps would want to live a different life and sort of be like this poor, pathetic figure who thought he could win, but seemingly lost. But for us, God, we know that wasn't the end. We're thankful that you have the power over the grave, that you have the power over darkness, that you have the ability to transform darkness back into light, that you have the ability to raise your son back to life, that you have the ability to not only give him life, but to give all of us who look to him for life, we too can be resurrected and be given life eternal. Father, I thank you that this is not the end. Friday was not the end. Sunday was just the beginning. We love you and pray in Christ's name, amen.